Welcome to another message by author, communicator, and motivator David T. Moore, featured speaker on the popular broadcast ministry, More on Life. And now, here's David Moore.
In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, there's some very clear advice for every one of us about this issue of how we relate with one another. Let's read it together. It says, "But among you there must be not a hint of sexual immorality, not even a hint of it, or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are not proper for God's holy people. And there should be no obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather the giving of thanks. God has spoken with absolute clarity as to how we are to respond to one another, especially those of us who might be in authority over some others around us. That men relating to women and men relating to men and women to women, that there is not to be even a hint of sexual immorality, of impurity, of coarse joking," which, as we see today on our situation comedies on television, are so good at, with all of the little double meanings and the innuendos and all that kind of thing. That kind of thing is completely out of place for God's people. And none of us can stand here this morning or sit and say, "This isn't my problem." Because it is an alarming problem in America that we must deal with. If you'd like to follow along on the outline, there's a place that it says, the priority. Next to priority, I would like for you to jot down the words, "make a difference." Because God has called all of us as His people to be people who impact and make a difference in our world. Now, let's read together Matthew 5, 13 to 16, some very familiar verses, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It says this, Jesus speaking. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a lampstand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." See, the priority of those verses is, hey, we're here to make a difference, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Now, nearly everyone who's ever been to church has heard these verses and would have to agree. But what I want you to understand is that we have been called to be the salt of the earth, meaning we are the preserving element. We are. If you remove the Judeo-Christian ethic from culture, culture crumbles. Jesus, God, said that we are the preserving element that keeps it from rotting. And we are the savoring element. Now, I'm not trying to appeal to your ego. I'm just saying this is what Jesus has said about you. Our job is to make this world tasteful. What's salt for? Well, salt's to make your food taste good, right? Unless you're on a salt-free diet and then you eat boring food. But see, the world was never meant to be boring. And God has called us to be the taste-giving ingredient to our world and to our culture. And we are the light of the world, meaning we are the guiding influence of the world. And you see, we as Christians have often withdrawn from that guiding, preserving, savoring influence in the world because we don't want to be identified with those real weird fundamentalists who are out there. And I understand that. And the media has portrayed anyone who is a Christian who gets involved in moral or political issues as a weird fundamentalist, a fringe group. And sometimes, because we don't really want to be associated with that, we step back and do nothing. And I want you to know today that God has called us priority living to make a difference. And that when we ignore that, we are good for nothing, it says here, but Jesus, except to be walked upon. And I would say that culturally in America today, the Judeo-Christian ethic is being walked upon, wouldn't you? Why? Because we haven't been the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You know, those of you who go to this church or are part of this, that we believe that we need to immerse ourselves in our culture. That the measure of your maturity is your penetration into your culture, not withdrawal from it. We don't believe in any of those isolationist little Christian communities. That God has called us to be out there in the real world, loving people until they ask you why. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. It's priority living. Make a difference. And when we ignore that, we're good for nothing except to be walked upon. And when we ignore that, we tie the hands of God from influencing our culture. Let me show you. Let's take a look at Isaiah 59, which is really the foundational verses that we'll be looking at this morning. Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull, Now, this is Hebrew poetry, so you have to get beyond the surface of this thing. The culture to which Isaiah was speaking was a really fouled up culture. And God was saying, Isaiah, my arm is not too short to help you if you'll let me help you. My problem is not that I can't hear your cries for help. I'd be happy to hear your cries and help. But, verse 2, your iniquities, that's sin, rebellion, treachery, whatever you want to call it, have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Your hands are stained with innocent blood, and your fingers with guilt, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. Now listen, those of you sitting here this morning are probably not guilty of anything that I just said there. Your hands aren't stained with blood. Your fingers are not filled with guilt. Your lips are not characterized by lying lips or a tongue that is consumed with wicked things. But the very next phrase says, no one calls for justice. And let me tell you, I think that many of us are guilty of that one. God has called us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to make a difference, and yet no one calls for justice. Look at verse 15. It's printed there for you. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. Verse 16, he saw that there was no one, and he was appalled that no one was there to intervene. Now catch this, people. When we ignore God's call to be the preserving, savoring, guiding influence of our culture, we become walked on. When we ignore his call, we tie his hands so that he can't work through us in this culture to accomplish what he would like to accomplish. He is looking for people who will actively stand up for justice. That's part of a Christian's obligation. And he's displeased and appalled when we do not. And the most motivating verse here for any of us would be where it says here in verse 15, truth is nowhere to be found, and he who shuns evil becomes its prey. If you are going to sit back this morning, any of us, and say, I'm just not interested in that politically motivated issue, then God says you will become a victim of that issue or problem. And so he calls us to priority living, which is, what is it? Three words? Tell me. Make a difference. What was it? Tell me again. I want you to say this thing. Make a difference. Okay, make a difference where? The problem. The basic foundational problem of our spouse abuse, of sexual abuse, of child abuse, and on it goes, of the things that are gross abuse of authority, is hardcore pornography. Now, some of you are going to say, oh, come on, just relax. I can usually back up what I say, right? So just hold on. But jot that down for our problem, hardcore pornography. Now, I'm not talking about airbrushed glamour photography like Playboy. I'm not talking about so-called innocent adult themes. I'm not talking about bare breasts, nude figures, Italian museums, or National Geographic. We're talking about what the U.S. Department of Justice has labeled as illegal, obscene, and/or child pornography. You may say, Dave, why do we have to talk about this on a Sunday? Because if you don't hear the truth here, you won't hear it out there. Do you know that when the Commission on Pornography finally issued their final report with 92 things that needed to happen if American culture intends to survive, do you know that not one publisher in America would even publish the thing? And the media won't tell you the truth. They'll whitewash the whole thing and say that anybody who out there who wants to limit it, they want to limit free speech, and they're just a bunch of fighting fundy weirdos. And some of them are, and I've distanced myself as far as I can from those people. But what we're talking about here is the illegal, hardcore issues that if we don't deal with them, we may be the last generation to control sexual violence in America. 95% of the materials that I'm talking about that you would find in your average adult bookstore or shop, according to the Attorney General, deals with group sex, bestiality, incest, homosexuality, sadomasochism, and other forms that I can't mention and keep our PG-13 rating today. Less than 5% of what's out there portrays one man and one willing woman consenting to a loving relationship. And it's a national problem. According to the FBI, it's a $10 billion business. 85% of it is produced within 100 miles of here in Los Angeles. Do you know that there are three times as many adult bookstores in America as there are McDonald's restaurants? There are 400 different publications produced every month, purchased by 20 million men and boys in America. U.S. Customs Department sees some 200,000 pieces of pornography. They found that 75% of them were prepared for children under the age of 18. And that the primary consumer of the materials I'm talking about this morning is the 12 to 17-year-old male in America. We need to know that. Times have changed so much. When I was in junior high, I wasn't even sure where babies came from. Now, maybe I was weird. I probably was. But I can remember distinctly trying to figure this thing out. My dad told me, and he used all this scientific stuff, and it didn't make a bit of sense. Now, junior highers have grown up a bit. 91% of junior high boys and 82% of junior high girls admit having seen an X-rated film. Times have changed. New England 4th through 6th graders were surveyed and asked if they had ever seen an X-rated film, and 70% of them said yes. And the tragic thing is that 66% of those boys and 40% of those girls, and mind you, we're talking about 4th through 9th graders, admitted that they had tried some of the things that they had seen portrayed in those X-rated films within a few days of viewing the films. That's why we must be people committed to making a difference. And if you think Christian kids are exempt, you're living in a dream world. When I worked with Josh McDowell on the Why Wait campaign of why kids ought to wait before they get involved in sexual things, we found through our national surveys that 10% of churched kids in America had seen an X-rated film within the past 6 months of the survey. The number one source of sexual information today for teenagers is not health class. The number one source is pornography. The Commission on Pornography, studied by the government, said 80% of it lands in the hands of minors. And what is he learning? I mean, if that is the number one source of information, let me read to you from Park Elliott Diaz, member of the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography, what he's learning, or she. A person who learned about human sexuality in adults-only pornography outlets of America would be a person who never conceived of a man and woman marrying or even falling in love before having intercourse, who have never conceived of tender foreplay, who have never conceived of procreation as the purpose of a sexual union. Instead, such a person would be one who would learn that sex at home meant sex with one's children, stepchildren, parents, stepparents, siblings, cousins, nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, and pets, with neighbors, milkmen, plumbers, salesmen, burglars, and peepers. He would have learned that one out of every five sexual encounters involves spanking, whipping, fighting, wrestling, tying, chaining, gagging, and torture. And that one in every 10 sexual acts involves a party of more than two. I can't read the next paragraph, but the following paragraph says he would also have learned that urine, excrement, are erotic materials, and would have learned that instruments of sex are chemicals and handcuffs, gags, hoods, restraints, harnesses, police badges, knives, guns, whips, paddles, toilets, diapers, and enema bags. And on it goes. I can't read any further. My purpose this morning is not to shock you or gross you out. My purpose this morning is to say, wake up, Mr. and Miss American. We are dealing with a problem of monumental proportions of a generation that is consuming material that is far worse than anything Playboy ever imagined. And the message of it is women who say no really mean yes. And the message is people are objects to use. So we have a problem. And God has said, make a difference. And God has said that he is appalled when his people don't stand up and make a difference. And he has said that we will become victims ourselves if we don't stand up and make a difference. So why don't we do something? Because we have believed a lie. Let's go back to Isaiah 59 as the foundation of what we're talking about. The pretense is found here in Isaiah 59. It says this, verse 4, no one calls for justice, no one pleads his case with integrity. They rely upon empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Now, the Hebrew poetry there is, you may read that at first glance and think, what in the world is he talking about? He is saying that people, in order to allow other innocent people to believe their lies, they develop empty arguments. And they are so concerned about getting their lies into the mainstream of culture so it can do what they want it to do, that they are like people who go to the nests of poisonous vipers and serpents, and they collect the eggs so that no predators can eat the eggs, and they actually incubate those eggs so that they can release those kinds of vipers into culture. That's what it's saying here. They hatch the eggs of vipers. And they spin a spider's web. The concept from the Hebrew is that they are the ones enlisting and helping the venomous spider to spin its web so that it will capture more people. But it says, whoever eats their eggs will die. And when one of them is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. The point of that is this. If you look closely at their empty arguments, you can see right through it like a spider's web. Wake up, it says. Their deeds are evil. Their acts of violence are in their hands. Empty arguments, like cobwebs for clothing. What are they? Some of them are things like this. You can't legislate morality. How many of you ever heard that one? Anybody here ever heard that phrase? That is an empty argument, folks. Because every criminal law on the books is legislated morality. The real issue is not legislating morality. The real issue is by what standard will morality be legislated. Everybody has a standard. Everybody draws a line somewhere. So the pretense doesn't hurt anybody. You can't legislate morality is a lie. It's an empty argument. And there's another one out there that says obscenity is in the eye of the beholder. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? What's obscene to you might not be obscene to me. The truth is, obscene material is not subjective. The truth is, everyone draws a line somewhere, even the ACLU. And the truth is that the Supreme Court has already drawn the line in June 1973 of what's obscene and what's not. Three clearly defined tests that material must pass. Test number one, the Supreme Court said it must not be patently offensive to the community average. What does that mean? That means this. If we were to go to one of these bookstores in Cathedral City, purchase some of the material that is there, blow it up and put it on a billboard in Indian Wells, would it be offensive to the average person driving by? If so, then it's illegal. The Supreme Court also said if it is intended to arouse unhealthy, abnormal, morbid interest in sex, it is illegal. Third, the Supreme Court said, if it lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value, it is illegal. So see, what we're dealing with here this morning has been clearly defined by the courts. The bottom line, child pornography and hardcore pornography is illegal material. Our job is to stand up and demand that the laws simply be enforced. It's as simple as that. Others will say, yeah, but freedom of protection is guaranteed by the First Amendment so that we can express ourselves. That sounds pretty good. And then you'll always have some newscaster who will say, if we ban this today, what will we ban tomorrow? Well, that's a ridiculous argument. The truth is, the First Amendment does not give anyone exclusive right to say or print anything. It does not. For example, are you free to say anything or print anything you want about anybody in this culture? Are you? Is that your right of protected speech? No, it's called libel and slander. You can go to jail for it. Justice William Brennan, writing on this issue, said this. The protection given speech and press was fashioned to ensure unfettered exchange of ideas for bringing about political and social changes desired by the people. The court has always assumed that obscenity is not protected by the freedoms of speech and the press. That's the Supreme Court speaking. This much has been categorically settled by the court, that obscene material is unprotected by the First Amendment. So all we're saying is the laws are in place. The Supreme Court has backed it consistently since 1973. Just enforce the law. If we legalize it, they say, and tax it, the problem will go away. That's an empty argument. Sounds good. It says people get bored with it. The problem is pornography is addictive, isn't it? And those who get caught up in it go deeper and deeper and deeper into more and more bizarre forms. The argument is about as foolish as telling someone if we just legalize crack and allow kids to have all the crack they want, they'll get bored with it. Is that true? There are four steps to addiction, according to Dr. Victor Klein from the University of Utah. One, stimulation, the addiction. There was an overwhelming sense within a young man when he's exposed to this material. That leads to the second step, and that is the escalation, more and more deviant materials. And the things that were patently offensive in the beginning become tolerable, even acceptable, and that leads to the desensitization, where that it's okay, it doesn't offend me anymore. They become desensitized so that people become objects and things to use. And fourth is their fantasies now that they have learned and written and printed material are acted upon. Hustler magazine used to produce, I don't know if they do anymore, but they used to produce a full page cartoon every month depicting a character called Chester the Molester. It was a joking look at child abuse. It's drawn by Dwayne Tinsley, who has since been arrested and convicted for child abuse. A man who started out drawing it as a joke, went through those four steps and acted out the behavior. The FBI says that we have 15 million sex addicts in America today. So those who will tell you if you legalize it and tax it, it'll go away, simply don't know what they're talking about. Those who say it's freedom of expression protected by the First Amendment, they haven't read the court cases. Next time you hear that or read that in the newspaper or hear it on the, from a news commentator, you need to call them or write them and tell them Miller, 413 U.S. at page 34. The Supreme Court has spoken. You better get your facts straight and make a difference.
We'll have to stop at this point for today. David will continue this message on our next broadcast. So be sure to be with us. A CD copy of today's message is available for $8 plus shipping and handling. Simply mention today's date when you write or call. Our toll-free number is 800-715-1444. That number again is 800-715-1444. Or visit our website at www.moreonlife.com. Our website offers David's most popular messages available on CD, DVD, and MP3. Join our Facebook page and browse through Dave's encouraging videos, listen to messages, post your comments, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our mailing address is available from the website, or feel free to call us toll-free. Our number is 800-715-1444. If you have a smartphone, go to the App Store and download our mobile app for free. You can listen to a variety of podcasts, and new messages are uploaded weekly. Simply search More on Life and download the app. More spelled M-O-O-R-E. You've been listening to More on Life with David T. Moore. More on Life is a listener-supported ministry, and your gifts are used to keep this broadcast on the air in your area. As our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount, we would like to send you David's series entitled Somebody's Trying to Make a Monkey Out of You. The theory of evolution keeps evolving, as the evidence used to support this theory does not stand up to science's own scientific method. From the still unexplained spontaneous generation of life and the absence of transitional creatures to the flawed evidence relating to the missing link, there are far too many holes in this theory to be taken as fact. As you will learn, this is a theory in crisis more than ever before, and yet is taught as fact in our public school system. This is a series every person should hear, especially our students. The messages include Evolution is a Religion, The Bone of Contention, The Missing Link is Still Missing, and How and When Did the Earth Begin? This series is an excellent addition to your Truth Library and is our gift to you for your donation to this ministry of any amount. The series is available in MP3 or CD. Our mailing address is 1869 East Celtis Way, number 315, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854, or call us toll-free. Our number is 800-715-1444. And when you contact us, please mention the call letters of this radio station. I'm Mike Marquardt, inviting you to join us again next time, when we'll once again look to God's Word to discover more on life. Attention restaurant owners, are you struggling during the slow season? Perhaps you're doing well and want to do a lot better. Are you looking for ways to make more money and increase your profits? Do you want to fill those empty seats and get more new customers daily? Grow It Media helps restaurants get more business from existing customers while adding new customers daily. We help struggling owners succeed and profitable owners become even more profitable. Only restaurant owners with a predictable system for attracting new customers, keeping existing customers happy, and enticing them to visit more frequently can say, "When I put the gas pedal to the floor in this business, it moves forward." Let us help you attract more new customers, retain existing customers, increase revenues for both in-restaurant sales and to-go orders, build brand recognition, alert your customers of weekly or daily specials effortlessly, and get some sleep at night. I'll show you how my company launches restaurants into a whole new level for more business. Call today and book your free strategy session. Call me today at 208-771-1111. That number again is 208-771-1111, or visit our website at filltheseempty.com and book your free, no obligation strategy session today. You'll be glad you did it.